Please turn to page 854 and read responsively Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You pursue me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark with you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are your works. You know me very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written the days that were formed for me, every day, before they came into being. How profound to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who maliciously defy you, who lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Die Bibelversion übernehmen von der Letter of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruit of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If anything, they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and defiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Thanks be, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
My brothers and sisters, please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel taken from St. Matthew. Listen for the word of God. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And now the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my lips, the meditations of my heart, and the actions that come thereafter be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, and give glory to you alone, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is hard to believe that this is the first Sunday of the 1994-95 school year at BU already. The summer has just seemed to foam by ever so quickly. And as I've been here on campus most of the summer and in the chapel, I don't feel like that I'm returning from vacation as many people are. This is the beginning of Rush Week here at BU, a time when our campus is transformed from the relative quietness it sees during the summer back to a major university where approximately 30,000 students are enrolled. And as the week progresses, you will see many lines around campus this week. You'll see lines at dorms, the GSU at 881 Com Ave, in the bookstore, for telephone service, to rent refrigerators and cafeterias, for parking, and almost anywhere you can find in our university community. And as most of you know, you can trust me to be sure that there will be many lines. For continuing students and staff, this is no surprise. For new and transferring students, this can be a shock, an eye-opener, and a major point of frustration from time to time. Especially for new students, you will learn a new language called BUEs, full of acronyms and abbreviations. Some of them are considering whether you are a student at STH, CLA, SMG, SFA, or the other schools and colleges in the university, you will still have to find 881, the GSU, Nickerson Field, the NIC, South Campus, West Campus, Campus Convenience, the T, Bay State Road, the Dugout, the Pub, Buswell Street, who knows, and that's whether you're talking about Kenmore Square or in Alston, Chef Chang, 700 Com Ave, the Danielson Cluster, and most likely find yourself eventually discovering the many shops on Harvard Ave. This is certainly a time of transformation and acclimation for us all as we continue our lives here or begin them. And nonetheless, welcome to our new school year, ready or not. I want to begin this morning by sharing a very simple story. A pastor and a soap manufacturer were walking down the street of a large urban city just like Boston. The soap manufacturer casually says to the pastor, "That gospel you preach hasn't done much good. Just observe all around you. The world is still full of wickedness and many wicked people too." The pastor offered no reply until they passed a small boy playing in a gutter. Seizing the opportunity, the pastor said to the soap manufacturer, my, your soap hasn't done much good. There's still a lot of dirt in the world and a lot of dirty people too." The soap manufacturer looked aghast and replied, "Oh, well, soap is only useful when it is applied." The pastor said, "Exactly. So it is with the gospel. As Christians, we are called to be doers of the word and not just merely hearers. This means that we don't just listen to the gospel and other stories from Scripture and say, well, gee, these are really nice and inspiring stories. I remember them from Sunday school. No. It means that as God inspired men and women of ages past who wrote these scriptures, we, Christians of the soon-to-be 21st century, are to respond to the scriptures personally in works and actions as people of faith. From this point, we reflect back to this morning's epistle lesson from James, especially looking at verses 22 through 24. James tells us, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Let me say that again, but be doers of the word and not just merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who deceive themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. We are to be doers of the word and not just merely hearers. This is my third year in graduate school here at BU, and before I came here, I went to the Island School of Theology in my hometown of Denver, Colorado. I began my studies there after I graduated from college, and one of the first classes I took was a multicultural seminar on issues in ministry, taught by Professors George Tinker, a Native American, and Professor Vincent Harding, an African American. And one of the most greatest learnings I learned from that was a time when Dr. Harding shared with us, and it really reminded me of today's epistle lesson. Dr. Harding grew up in New York City and still speaks with a very strong New York accent. One day he was telling our class about the old ladies in his church who would teach him and his peers Sunday schools as they were growing up. And I'm sure that all of you who grew up going to Sunday school or Sabbath school or CCD or had some kind of formal Christian education remember the old ladies of the church, maybe even personified like David Carvey in his old Saturday Night Live skit, would either be disciplining you or give you a piece of maternal wisdom, which at time you have no idea what they were saying, but in retrospect touches you at a point in your life. Professor Harding recalled one of those encounters with the church ladies of the Baptist Church of his hometown in New York, and he told us the church ladies would come up to him and the other children every Sunday after Sunday school and ask them, "What did you learn today, children?" And we would tell the church ladies about the lessons and the scriptures our teachers had taught us. The church ladies would then continue to ask us if we believed what we learned, and we most always replied with yes. And the church ladies would leave us with one ending statement, and they would look at us and they would say, "Boy, girl, you better walk your talk. Boy, girl, you better walk your talk." And those old church ladies, like James, tells us we are not merely to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. In our own personal reflections, what is one of the most basic stories we learn from Scripture where Jesus tells us that we are to be more than hearers of the word, but doers too? Just think of the simple story of the Good Samaritan taken from St. Luke. A man, a Samaritan, an enemy despised by the Israelites, goes out of his way to help an Israelite who had been robbed and beaten up, who was laying half dead on a road, and while he was laying there was ignored by a priest and also by a Levite. It was the Samaritan, an enemy of the beaten person, who went out of his way to help him. The priest, a man who we assumed had a professed faith reflected in the tradition of his vocation, did not even acknowledge his wounded and fallen brother. It was the faith of the Samaritan, the enemy, who stepped out on faith in order to aid the fallen victim. Thus, we are not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word too. This past summer, I have been at Marsh Chapel working with Dr. Campbell as he conducted the summer services here. A person who had listened to our services via radio wrote a letter to Dr. Campbell denouncing him for praying for people who were stricken with AIDS or addicted to drugs and alcohol. The writer proclaimed that if those people who we prayed for were not sinners, they would not be in their stricken condition. I disagreed with the letter simply being that we are all called to pray for all people standing in the need of prayer, including ourselves. James further conveys in today's reading, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James reminds us that we are called to action, to be in service to all of the world. Thus, if we don't respond to the crisis and pains of others in the world around us through our actions, ignoring people and events which are judged as painful or unfamiliar or unreachable to us, then we are neglecting the call to action and service to God's creation. We are called to be not only hearers, but doers of God's word too. The gospel lesson today is one of my personal favorites and one that I find very interesting. This pericope of Jesus, which follows the Beatitudes, is one where Jesus personally calls us, the people here in the world today, yesterday, and tomorrow, into action. Jesus begins, verse 14, with you. And as I've used the NRSV translation of the Bible, I looked at other English translations of the Bible, and they all start with you. You, everyone in Marsh Chapel, you, everyone listening by radio, you, everyone in Boston, you, everyone in Massachusetts, in the United States, in North America, you in all of the world are the light of the world that Christ is referring to. This scripture is a charge, a call to action to us all. Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world, we God's creation, and we must shine in order to give glory to Him. As the Apostle Paul tells us, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Others will see Christ's light shine to us all through our works, if we dare to have courage to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. Yesterday, I returned from spending a week in Rhode Island with the first annual United Methodist East Coast Asian American Retreat, which was co-sponsored by the United Methodist Church and Marsh Chapel. Youth and young adults from Massachusetts, New York, Maine, and California gathered for a week to discuss the theme, Stepping Out on Faith. And we did this through examining faith stories of Peter, of Abraham, of Esther, of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Job. Through the sharing of faith stories, the study of scripture, interacting in workshops and other programs, I experienced a group of people who assembled as strangers last Sunday night, who departed yesterday as a community of friends. I saw people in our community, persons daring to step out on faith by not only hearing and discerning scripture, but by acting upon what they had heard. What was wondrous was that I saw this happen to not only staff, but more so to our campers. It was even more marvelous when I really saw the campers stepping out on faith. I saw Chong, a young man with cerebral palsy, swing on a rope from a platform like Tarzan, and he went from one platform to another, holding on with his big smiling face, knowing that the community surrounding him would embrace him regardless of his physical challenge. I heard two young women, Moon Hee and Hyun Suk, give their testimonies about how they had immigrated to the United States from Korea and the hardship they encountered both in their homeland and to an adopted land. But despite their pain at times throughout their journeys, they knew that God was there with them and they would pledge to use their lives and their gifts to the service of others. Pretty good for a little 14-year-old girl. I saw a group of people grapple with past histories of ethnic clashes and strife, which still cause pain today on both sides, take time to pray and continue to dialogue on how better to understand what we might do to the future to make it better for us all. And lastly, I experienced a group of today's youth who were more concerned about developing and maintaining their Christian faith and what responsibilities that entailed, and not a bunch of youth influenced by Beavis and Butthead, trivialized by MTV, stigmatized by the Pepsi generation, or overcome by any other negative and derogatory stereotypes of Generation X. By letting Christ shine through themselves, these young people who I spent a week with gave me hope that our world may not be such a bad place all of the time, and that there is hope for that humankind will find meaning and deliverance in God's plan for us all. As we partake shortly in our worship service to the sacrament of Holy Communion, let us go forward reminded of Jesus Christ, the one who came in the name of the Lord, who walked his talk for our sake and for the sake of redeeming all of God's plan for creation. We are to be not only hearers of God's word, but doers of God's word too. Amen.